There we go. Hey, how goes it? Ken Bozak here to talk about Bitcoin and Bitcoin accessories. And today I'm with my bro, Donnie Giebert, and we're going to be talking about legislation on the blockchain, eh? So I saw your website. It's the null. What was the website again?
The null hypothesis of politics.com.
Yeah, that's a lot of syllables for a stoner. Hypothesis.
I know at a certain point, like, there's this weird marketing thing where when you have someone's attention, you got to have like this 3 second thing. So basically, if you read it and you understand it for my 3 seconds, good. That's like about all you really get with that first initial bang. So
you could break it down to just the first letters of each one at like .io and have it like shortcut to the .com.
But that doesn't actually say what it does.
Good point.
It's all at that one point where if I could boil it all down to one thing and I could convey it as one thing.
Well, what does that mean? What does that thing that you're talking about actually mean?
Well, apolitics. Apolitics as a political message. The echo chamber needs an anechoic message. It sounds complex, but it's really not. There are no political parties that say if you jump in our party, you're de facto no longer part of any of the other ones, and you're not part of that system anymore. And this is pretty much walk away, you know, the walk away campaign, the unrig campaign. Mm-hmm. All of those are, we need an apolitical party. I've been giving some shit to people in the Libertarian Party to turn the Libertarian Party into an apolitical black hole of no more of this nonsense, instead of just trying to be a Republican Party light. Right. With, or it doesn't matter how you want to look at it, when you're a libertarian, you're performing a method like the Republicans and the Democrats, and you're not doing it very well. So your ideology is lost on your methodology, because you're going to get 3% of the vote and consider it a success. That's not success. That's just making yourself feel good about the whole thing. So the Libertarian Party could be a serious weapon, and until it's serious, it won't be anything.
Well, what's holding it? What's holding the Libertarian Party back from doing something like this? Do you think it's like self sustaining, or do you think it's like self interest, or what?
Republicans will do what they are told. Libertarians, by their nature, don't. So it's easier to amass Republicans to do anything that you would call rank and file. There are no rank and file Libertarians. Right. So this organizational methodology never gets off the ground, because there's somewhat of an intellectual component to it. You're almost anti-propagandized. You're not into aggression. Your methodology doesn't involve centralization. It involves, like, if you really think about it, libertarian methodology is a lot more peer-to-peer based. And authoritarian methodology is, sure, we could scale this all the way up, because if anybody gets in the way, we'll just grind them off like they're a burr with a piece of sandpaper. And they'll, you know, oh, look, a whole village. In the name of authoritarian progress, Dresden. You know what I mean?
So how does decentralizing this help solve any of these? Where does the solutions come into play with the technologies that we have today?
So the solution comes in, it's really half of an education. I'm not necessarily even saying everyone needs a blockchain system to figure out a legislature. But if I complain about a legislature because I don't like it, I'm not providing a solution. So I think everybody has enough of an argument now against the concept of legislation and legislatures as a societal model. The way they work is authoritarian. Authoritarian grinds people. So that's not good. The manner in which we're supposedly controlling it is voting, which isn't the method of control, really. It's mob rule. However, when you use you call a constitutional republic, you call it that, but it's really a constitutional democracy, because at the end of the day, it's just a small group of people in Washington voting for 300 million. So it's this voting titration scheme. Well, that's it's called a fatal funnel. In the military, all this is a fatal funnel. So we've taken all your resources and all of your agency, and we've funneled it into Congress. And that, lo and behold, is where all of your agency, all of the money, disappeared. So, and there's no point in arguing about it. It's the centralization of these things that allows the problem. But it's the authoritarian methodology in the centralization that does it.
Sounds like we need instead of a libertarian party, we need a decentralized party.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. If you restructure the Libertarian Party into the party of be your own senator, everybody who joins the Libertarian Party learns how to be in the Libertarian Party. And what is that? It's when you're actually your own senator in the American system. So there's methods to do all of these things. And yet, a lot of this really comes, there's a philosophical debate up front about what is human rights. And the answer to that, whether people like it or not, is property rights. And you have to kind of go into Walter Block and David Friedman. Walter Block's book, Defending the Indefensible, and David Friedman is The Machinery of Freedom. So if you go into those two books, what you're going to find is how do people operate in a legal system? And then what you find out, Walter Block is really good with puzzles. So he will take your property system and he will find out every single way it is broken in either a methodological or a philosophical way. He's very, very thorough. So you take his methods and you put them over into the David Friedman system of how do you create a decentralized legal system.
Yeah, but couldn't that be game theoried and still manipulated at a sense?
Well, here's the thing. The way you manipulate something is behind closed doors. Okay? When everybody knows what the secret is, it's not a secret. Everything you don't know is a secret. Everything you don't know is a secret. So when I use all of my secrets against you, you don't necessarily know if what I'm talking about is true or not. When I lay all of what I'm talking about on the table in front of you, and then you have to accept it into your heart, then I'm selling you Rube Goldberg into your heart as a legislative model instead of believing that a legal system with certain legal tenets functions. It's not that we don't have that conversation. I will go into every single piece of law. I was a military intelligence analyst, so this is I know how to report a government in the same way that Walter Block knows how to rip apart property rights.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't know this information, so they're not, like, they're government illiterate to a sense, or governance illiterate to a sense that, you know, even if people did have the ability to be their own, you know, senator, and at that level inside the American governance system, they still might delegate their ability to still, like, there still may be, like, those electoral colleges in a sense where people will still either rent out their voting abilities or they'll delegate it to a higher, you know, deity, somebody they have appointed to do their own research for them.
Well, listen, that's exactly what Facebook is. You have taken away your personal responsibility for your data, securing your data and who you share it with, and for the cost of a service, which they give you a service that allows you to talk to your friends and family and whatnot. And you relieved yourself of all of your data security needs, and then you lost all your shit, and then it's Mark Zuckerberg's fault. And I think Mark Zuckerberg is a shitty capitalist. I don't think he's an inhumane tyrant. He gave a service that allowed him great amount of data to use against you. And now we're all finding out that, you know, half of humanity is a clickbait moron because Mark Zuckerberg wants to peddle more ads. Well, okay. So how do you avoid that situation? The only way you avoid it is to let someone know it's happening and then hope they do it on their own. So the way I structure this legislature is like a special forces mission. I'm not assuming that the government wants me to do this, but I am assuming that the people want to learn how to defend themselves. And then I just wrote a book on legal hygiene and legal self-defense. If you're doing legal judo, you're good enough to do this on your own. But legal hygiene is keeping other people's dirty laws off of you. If you want to boil down all the lawyer arguments in the American legal system, I got one. Who the fuck told you were allowed to write a statute for me? Because even according to the rules of the American legal system, I have to be given a contract, legal consideration that you were allowed to do that for me.
Well, isn't that what happens when people elect somebody in the office? You're forgiven.
Did I consent to an election? Nor did anyone else. Nobody consents to these things. They're propagandized into thinking that this is the way we should organize. And the reality is it's a fatal funnel for ignorance and a whole bunch of money. And then out the other end poops a bunch of horrors. And everybody goes, oh, but holy Jesus, the horrors. And I'm like, what did you expect? You took aggregated ignorance and aggregated wealth. You put it into what is basically a black hole because you're not allowed to see who's really controlling how all of this shit gets spent, how and why. And then all of a sudden you do get to see how. Boom. It poops out the other end at like a war. So because people are giving away their own agency, and honestly, when you start talking to most people, they really want it back. But the answer is you have to learn how to become your own senator. And then you think, Jesus, that's hard. And I'm going to tell you, no, it isn't, for two reasons. One, a bunch of what a senator does is just getting reelected. You don't have to learn any of that shit. Second, you think that the senator reads a bunch of legislation and knows how to do a bunch of things de facto because he's a senator. No, he doesn't. A bunch of them are politicking and they're playing the game. They don't give a shit about how the laws are written. They don't pay attention to how it works. They play the game. So you don't have to learn any of that bullshit either. What you do have to learn is the fundamentals of what civics are, and not your eighth grade civics. You have to learn, how am I supposed to treat another human being? It's kind of a philosophy course, but when you get down to it, if you keep your hands to yourself and you stay in your house and you only go where other people let you by permission, everything should be okay for you. You know, that's kind of how 300 million people have to interact on just the basic civil level. You have to know you can't be murdered, raped, or stolen from, and that is all. So now if I go to the Supreme, like if we, of course, the manner in which the system is put together is pejorative, expensive, and we're not allowed to make certain arguments. At which point you could just say you're owned unless you're rich, and then even if you're rich at a certain point, you're still owned. So what we need to do is all recognize our own agency. We have the right to alter or abolish the Constitution on an individual level and secede, but that doesn't solve any organization problems.
Well, what do you think about, like, automated legislation and autonomized legislation where, like, you know, AI steps into play and things to that effect where we have general consensus and it plays a more of a human-off approach?
I'm absolutely certain that no human should write legislation for me. I'm also certain that AI was just some human making an AI, so that machine is definitely not fit because a human told it to do something. So that AI has a very specific axis of what it's going to do for its entire life. And that looks like legislating humans. That machine does not know how to legislate a human. It doesn't even understand what it's like to be one. So I'm going to say the way you keep the, you automate it, but you don't automate what happens to you unless you authorize it. So I think we start this understanding of why do we have a legislature? And that is, we have a legislature because we have murders. That's it. We have murders, and that's real life, and we have to deal with it. It's not a philosophy. It's not a, we don't want to inflict anything on anybody. Welcome to human. There's lots of things, and we have murders. Now, we can list everything else after that. We can, but we're just going to have to say the murder or the rape. Murder or rape, we're just going to put them all the way at the top. We have these problems. We have to solve them. And for all of human history, it was legislation. Now, if we want to be pissed off at boomers, that's not a solution. So we have to solve the problems that the boomers couldn't solve. And blaming the boomers for solving them and also being, you know, propagandized, dumb, however you want to go, whatever, that's not a solution either. So everybody who thinks that blame, the blame is in the mirror. You don't know how to do it either. So if you don't know how to do it and I don't know how to do it, blaming someone else to do it is just childish bullshit. So now we're going to have a legislature, except there's a whole bunch of anarchists who will go, oh, but what, dude? There's no reason to have a legislature. And here's where we have to get down to the talk where, yes, I understand there's a bunch of authoritarian horseshit that comes out of a legislature. I get that. However, there's also this bare minimum organization that revolves around the murdering and the raping. So where, if we're all standing around with a dead body on the floor, and then we have to solve all of humanity's problems, we're too late. From here, we are going to command certain doors are kicked open so that that human being who just murdered no less than one people is dragged out and held account for it. That's very authoritarian, and it's never going to be a libertarian process, ever. But if you go back one step where there's nobody on the ground, can we all agree that no one is going to murder? Yes. Anyone unwilling to sign a document to say that is a de facto supporter of a murderer, and they don't get to live with us anymore. It's shunning.
Yeah, but how's that enforced?
So, again, until everybody's trained, the first enforcement is it's kind of luring people into how do we get the, you have to spread the education. The legislature is what's containing people and causing the problems. So you have to train people. The next step is you can be your own senator. We all sign a contract. Here, let me go through the concept first. We're all going to sign a contract that says we're not going to murder, we're not going to rape, and we're not going to steal. Now, what's the incentive to sign that? The incentive is that is your identification and your political identification for the rest of your life. This is as far as you're ever required to get into politics. I don't murder, I don't rape, I don't steal. And if you think there needs to be another law, sell it to me. That's it. Now, there needs to be enforcement of that, and that comes with a cost. But that also needs to come with a minimum cost. So the first thing we do is we agree that if anyone's willing to murder, rape, or steal, they're not allowed to live here. We do not have to cage them after they do this. We can export them before they do this. So it's kind of a societal ethic where someone growing up, as soon as they're, I was 14 and big enough to kill someone with a rock, at which point, you know, puberty is a really good way of saying this is when you can enter contract because this is when you can make babies. So nature has allowed you to make contract. There's no point in kicking this off till 18 where you don't learn these things. You know, the school system is teaching people stuff. How is it necessarily relevant? But your biology allows you to make a biological contract as soon as you're pubescent. So puberty says it's time for like the initiation.
Well, puberty
right
is an age aligned scenario, right? It's very individual, and there would have to be some IoT device that would gauge when puberty was achieved. But I want to digress a sec. Did you kill somebody with a rock when you were 14? Is that what
No. Listen, I was in the military for a long time. I was large enough to do that. So when you have a human being who's autonomous and can wander all around on their own and kill someone with a rock, you should be able to ascertain this person at least to be a peaceful human who lives here on Earth. You know what I mean? That's kind of what's that. We assume that about other people, but that we have a legal system. The legal system has tenets. We already know that there's so many tenets that murder, rape, and theft. Oh, hell yeah, we got those covered. We got 10,000 ships on top of that. So all I'm saying is we all get together as individuals and we have an educational constitutional convention. And we say the manner in which 300 million people on this continent function must change. How should it change? Everyone who wants to murder, rape, or steal can't live here. Now this is generational. So it takes a while to titrate. How does it titrate? We already have a system. By creating another system, we just allow people to migrate. So it's a migration of adults who are leaving the other system because it's a controlled monetary system, it's a controlled regulatory state, and it's an authoritarian legal system that's inflicted upon you.
So wouldn't that be like individual secession?
And individual secession fails because you do it alone. But when you do it with all the other people who understand, spreading information in an information age is pretty easy. So when you can populate this information, very cheaply, as we're doing right now.
Yeah, but unfortunately, those powers that be control the soapboxes that are used for information, and they can regulate and lobby out education and make education of certain aspects illegal, like 3D printing gun blueprints.
Okay, so listen, here's where I'm going to tell you we're going to run a special forces mission. So what is a special forces mission? You take a bunch of dudes who know how to do a whole bunch of shit, and they are going to go in, they are going to train the local population to defend themselves against their government. That is what a special forces mission at its core is. You don't have to think it's right or not. However, how would I perform one in America? This country is loaded with guns. There is no fucking way. How many special forces guys do I have to send to America before the population overthrows the government? And the answer is so many special forces guys that it's easier to train the population to defend themselves, right? Because that's what the special forces guys are going to do anyway. So I'm not trying to overthrow the government. I'm trying to teach the people to defend themselves. It just so happens that the enemy of most people here is the government, not the organizational stuff. The organizational stuff is the economy, and a lot of that is the market. Well, then you get this government regulation claw into the market, so it pulls on the market in certain ways, and then it's easy for a politician to start blaming people who don't know how that works. They'll blame the free market for the regulatory state hurting people. Now, I'm not saying the free market can't hurt people. I'm saying the free market mechanics don't hurt people intentionally. It hurts it. Free market, it's e if I had a lot of money, I could play with the crypto market just like the CFTC does, right?
Right.
I don't have that. So when you're a master of a particular domain, it's hard to prevent that apex predator from doing what it wants. But when that apex predator is just enabled with a big pile of dollars, it's not a matter of somebody's better at a particular activity, it's they are more well-financed. And you look at all the government operations. The only reason any of these idiots are financed is because they have a printing press.
Yeah, but how do we prevent individual irony? How do we prevent individual monarchs from, monopolizing on this and creating these echo chambers of wealth again, even in a decentralized governance?
Okay, so there's two parts of that. When you say a monarch, I want everyone to be their own monarch. However,
I like that.
monarchs fight with each other, so I say senators, because senators get together to work shit out. They don't inherently get together to fight together. But if you want to go monarch, everybody becomes their own monarch. But then
that's what it sounds like. Yeah, okay.
But then there's dumb people who will get taken advantage of, and the only way that you can fix that is with education. But a monarch also comes with a predatory regulatory state, and uneducated people sometimes think that the regulations are
good.
Yeah,
but some people are just dumb. You can
But you
can't
can't fix
educate
them.
dumb people. Exactly.
You don't. So you and I should have a system that doesn't involve them, and that's why I'm saying we're going to create another one, and we're going to leave.
It sounds like Sparta. We're just going to kick out all the unintellectually inclined individuals.
Listen, I
Get rid
think
of
we.
the elderly and needy.
No. Listen. We can take care of the elderly and needy by taking them with us. We educate them and take them with us. And listen, this is an administrative migration. If all of the people who were sick of the federal government wanted to leave and had the means to leave and had somewhere to go and had a plan and they could just get on a jet plane and say, fuck this place, they would do it. But all of that logistical shit, some people don't have the money to do it. Some
Right.
people, they recognize there's a. And they also recognize there's probably not a better place to go. There's probably not. The dollar is everywhere. The dollar controls too many things. The dollar is a non-scientific unit of measure controlled by some people in Washington and New York. So until we stop using the dollar, the dollar is the war coin. The great thing about crypto is you can pick about 40 different projects. They all have sound infrastructure. They're not stupid. Your coins aren't going to disappear from your wallet, and none of them support any kind of dictator or authoritarian regime. or militarized authoritarian regime. There's authoritarian regimes that don't really hurt a lot of people, but they have the potential and they can. You know, Germany hurts its citizens, not like German cops don't punch a lot of German citizens. But the German monetary authorities really fuck a lot of Germans over. In America, the citizens also get punched. So we have to understand our own bailiwick, 21st century human. It's really not that hard. And again, how would I do this? Special forces guys going into America, body armor, gloves, and a book. And they hand the book out to everyone. Here you go. Here's how to legally defend us against your government, because special forces, you know, special forces invasion of America, it looks like Spetsnaz. What happens when Spetsnaz come to America? They get eaten by gun owning Americans, maybe before the cops find them. Welcome to America, fucker. You don't get to invade here ever, ever. Right. Nobody ever gets to invade here. So a lot of the hysteria around the military is mathematically, you know, nobody's ever coming here. So there's a bunch of shit that's, a lot of it is FUD and ignorance. So if I could send, I'm Vladimir Putin, you know, of course it has to be a Russian, right? I'm going to send Spetsnaz to America. They're all going to wear t-shirts and jeans, and they're going to hand out a pamphlet. How legal hygiene and legal self-defense for the average American. That is what my special forces op looks like. Everybody stays at the Ramada. Nobody's out in the field. Nobody's taking any weapons. You're taking the government credit card.
Why not just email everybody the information and stream the information? Why physically deliver it?
Well, okay, so we're, to a certain extent, in any regime where you're doing special forces, you need people to train your population. So now, instead of these guys walking the streets handing pamphlets, there's five guys walking the streets handing pamphlets, but then there's 25 guys with classrooms giving away free education. I'm funding the operation. If I'm I'm funded to my tune, man. I didn't get in early on Bitcoin. I got some crypto away now, and I'm waiting for the market to go, and I don't know if I retire or not, because that's how the market works.
True.
But what is my job now? I am looking for small, medium, or nation state. You know, you could do this at a city, county, state, or nation state level. You can reorganize a legislature to be decentralized. So as people start to realize that they have been propagandized, I mean, if history...
Well, where do you start this in America? Where's like, because I would say probably Texas, right? Because they want to secede.
What am I doing right now? I give away a book on how to do the whole thing yourself. For all I know, some guy in Washington State reads it. He's got more clout than I do. He pops up doing this shit in Washington State. I don't know. The whole goal is to, you know, the military says pass it on. But even the military is very bad about passing on the whole message to germane level of detail. If your commander dies, do you understand enough to finish the mission? And in many cases, that answer is no. So what do? I give away the book, and the book is, if I'm shot tomorrow, the only thing that happens is a lot more people find out about my book.
That's a good point.
Nope. I assumed that the minute I wrote this book, I was going to get killed for it. And then I'm like, okay, if I try to sell the book, somebody could give me 30 grand and then shelf it because they just purchased my IP. So I had to give it away. Otherwise, someone could shelf the material and tell you it's not possible. And I'm absolutely certain it's possible to decentralize the legislature, but a human needs to understand what a blockchain is and how a blockchain could apply to the work of Walter Block and how the work of David Friedman also does the work of Walter Block. And then private key storage of your identification. Everything flows from, I'm a senator, here's my ID. Everything flows from down there. Now, I understand that sounds a little grandiose, everybody's a senator.
Right. What I'm saying is, we want everyone to be their own bank in Bitcoin. So, I mean, that's not a far stretch from being your own monarch.
What I'm saying is, when you walk up to a cop and the answer is, I'm a senator, what does the cop do? He gets out of his way because he's afraid for his job. So that is how a cop is really supposed to approach the public. I am here to perform a service, and these things are aggressive and stupid and immune, and you're forced to fund them. So you have all of these nasty second and third order effects. I mean, you don't get the best cops because the current case law in America is we hire medium intelligence cops so they don't get bored and run off early. That's the case law. You don't like my attitude? You go read the case law and realize instead of putting the cops on a 2 or 3 year contract and they have to know that up front and then they have to not be immune and they have to behave because of the training cost, they make them immune and then hire medium intelligence cops so that they're more corruptible and they make more mistakes and it doesn't matter because the people pick up the insurance tab when the lawsuit goes the wrong way anyway. So all of these, we started making laws with a dead body on the ground. And if we take that one step back and say, at some point there's going to be a dead body, let's have everyone contractually agree to not murder up front. Because if
that doesn't prevent them from performing the act. It doesn't make in a utopia.
Absolutely. However, what it does is it changes the way the legal system is constructed. I will not have to construct any authoritarian measures to kick in your door. You will be the de facto target. There's no wrong address because these people, their job isn't de facto to go kick in doors because I do that. And then they get the wrong address. When
happens a lot.
How many professionals are on a team of 14 cops who go to the wrong address? The answer is zero. There is not one professional on that whole fucking team. Not one. So all of a sudden, you got to recognize what your cops are. They will not only let somebody else check the address, they will also do the job without anybody checking the address. So it's really, these guys are, they're under-informed, under-trained, and then they're performing acts that, listen, to train a Navy SEAL, it takes 2 fucking years at a minimum. At a minimum.
Million dollar men.
That's right. So everybody who is a cop after they take the 90-day course, guess what? You're getting 90-day security that pulls your relatives over on the side of the road, and then you're wondering why you got dead chihuahuas and relatives.
Right.
Because the enforcement measures for an authoritarian legal system are dumb. So when we start this at we agree to not murder, we are not saying there won't be murders. We are saying that you can affirmatively give up information, and unless it's true and validated, nothing happens to you. So now we have positively incentivized people via a little bit of education and contract that now when someone shows up and asks you to prove you're not a murderer, two things will happen. You can prove you're not a murderer and they're not sniffing around for pot and evidence of other crime unless you have a dead body there. You know what I mean? Nobody's in your house trying to help. You call a cop, you think you're getting help. He sees a pipe and you go to jail. That's bullshit. You're not supposed to get preyed upon by your help. So unless you have a dead body. So all of a sudden we are down to no murder, no rape, no steal. And when you call your cops, it's about the murdering and the raping and the stealing. There is no other 911.
Nobody. Well, at this point, wouldn't the police be their own senators as well? So it'd be some sort of like more of a communal instead of a displaced or detachment. Because now, right now, citizen and police are detached from one another, as opposed to being more similar and being their own senators and having that right as well as an officer and a citizen at the same time.
Listen, the problem is. Listen, the cops are, you want to talk about officers? Let me tell you, go look at all the cops and they have this rank on their sleeve, right? It's enlisted rank, okay? You're told that these people are officers, but the rank is international. There are enlisted ranks and people who have specialties, and then there are officer ranks, people who are in charge of things. So a visiting dignitary can look at a cop and based on his uniform, he knows what this guy knows. This guy has one mosquito wing on his sleeve. He lets me through the front door. This guy's got 2 or 3. He lets me through front door and into the chief's office. Chief lets me all the way into the back room where the real information is, right? So every cop out there is a dumb fuck who thinks he's an officer when you go look to, no, he was miseducated. But let me tell you, when you tell someone they're an officer and then you look at military officers, you start thinking you might be one of them. That dumb fuck is not one of them. Military officers have years of experience doing a variety of things. They are a trained war monkey that goes out into a unit and says, I know how to do so many of the functions in this unit that I'm in charge. Now, think about military members. I understand we're on a contract. We're, you know, we're kind of dumb. But when you get a group of 12 military guys in the room, you know something's about to goddamn happen. And ladies, there's Amazons in the group. So you get those people in a room, some shit's going to fucking happen. This guy knows so much shit, he's in charge of them. Okay? That is a military officer. You get a major, that is a field grade officer. That guy's got 10 or 12 years of experience and several million dollars of training. Period.
Kingsley wants to know if you're former spec ops. He says he went through a few months of SEAL training back in the day. Yeah, dude, Kingsley, you definitely look like you would have been a SEAL for sure.
I trained for a couple of years. I did four. Fundamentally, my military breaks up into four times. 95 through 99, I was ammunition supply in the regular Army, and I was a nug. I paid attention. I behaved. All of my leadership was great. They all taught me tons of things, but what I was learning was logistical matrices. I was capable of running an ASP.
What's that?
So an ammunition supply point. It's okay. Think of it kind of like I don't want to go as big as Walmart. It's not as big. It's kind of like an advanced auto parts store, only with ammunition.
It's like the supply chain of ammunition.
Right, except Advanced Auto Parts is spread out over a 50-acre ranch because each bin has explosives in it, and they'll blow up, and you don't want them to blow up. So the Advanced Auto Parts store is as big as a golf course, and I run a forklift, but I'm doing the parts. That's really what it is, and I could run that store. And then I went to my guard unit, and that everybody likes to laugh at the guard, and that's great. I know why they do it. My guard unit was an infantry unit, and it had old special forces guys in it. So I didn't get a National Guard 11 Bravo tour. I got as full of a special forces education as I was allowed, and my fucking leadership allowed it. That's they just awesome. Gave me, right. They gave me everything they had because they knew I was young and they knew I was trouble. So when this, then 9/11 happened, and all of them just kind of grabbed me by the shoulders and pointed me towards the active duty, because they knew that something was going to happen with me. So they're like, all right, yeah, you might as well go back to active duty. So when I went into the Navy, I was training to be a SEAL for a couple of years, and I got all tore up. But I was an electronics technician in the Navy.
Okay.
So I learned radio and radar, not just a little bit, like not how to use them, like how to rip them apart, all the principles that dictate. And then I didn't like the Navy very much. I got injured. I wasn't a SEAL. So I went back to the Army, and I ended up military intelligence. Now, when you build an officer in the Army, you send them to logistics, S4, you send them to operations, S3, you send them to commo, S6, and you send them to intelligence, S2. This is how you build field-grade officers. I'm just a weird staff sergeant who likes to do interesting things. And the DOD will let me. So it's not that, and so my peer group is very strange, because when someone hears I'm a staff sergeant, and they hear the level of knowledge I have, and then they start looking at my uniform, I don't have a commensurate staff sergeant. Most staff sergeants are doing one job for 10 or 12 years, and they get promoted along that route. And you could go faster. You can go faster and be a staff sergeant in 6 or 7. But that's kind of what I do. I cap out at about staff sergeant to sergeant first class level worth of knowledge in a thing, and I wasn't doing executive functions. I was learning the business. And then I went to a different thing, and I learned the business up to where senior leadership would just be passing notes. Well, there's bureaucracy and doing. I was a doer, 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 doer. The whole time I was in, I did. Then when I got out, I took PMP, Scrum, Kanban, Six Sigma. I did some Network Plus, Security Plus. I just went and did all these courses that let me know, okay, this is what the civilian terminology is for this stuff. This is how the civilian world, and what you really find is the regular, So my culmination of skills in toto is somewhere between a field grade officer insurgent, because that's kind of how I was a doer, trained to be a SEAL. I don't take no for an answer. I Rube Goldberg a solution into play with my resources. And if that, and if my, my solution requires at this point, I send in 15 people and they kill everyone in this room because I have six murderers in the room and I have three hostages, I'm going to send these guys in there to kill all the danger in the room. And these 15 guys are so goddamn dumb, they're going to do it because there's three hostages in there. I love those dumb fuckers.
So Kingsley wants to know, are you still working for the DOD or are you still enlisted and serving?
No, I am. I am literally, I am he who shall not be named. Like, I can't get a job back in the complex. I'm never getting a job because I wrote a book on decentralized legislatures. My resumes disappear. I've been using my GI Bill since I got out of the military because I can't get a job, period.
Damn, you've been blacklisted.
Listen, I've been shadow banned. My LinkedIn is shadow banned. So it's fine. Like, I don't give a shit. I understood this is what honestly, I didn't even expect to live this long. I did not expect to write this book as anything other than a a message in a bottle, because I was almost certain that some human being who actually understands how to do this would have figured out exactly what was coming out of my mouth and tried to shut me up. And that didn't happen. So I'm alarmingly optimistic, except I still look around corners like I'm almost certain somebody doesn't want everyone to know how to do this.
Well, I'm going to have to read this book, man. I'll be honest, I haven't read it yet, but now I'm intrigued enough to take a look at it. How long of a book is it?
It's less than 100 pages. But listen, the book is not... I'm actually... So I have a voice actor who volunteered to do it, and then I actually did a PDF to the mechanical voice, and you could just audiobook the mechanical voice. I know that's shitty, but you don't want to hear my voice any more than the mechanical one. So that route, and now I actually have a voice actor. He's doing it, but it's part time and it's on his own time and it's volunteer work. So, you know, it'll be here when it's here, and that's the way that is.
Audiobooks are my favorite books to read.
But honestly, you're already read up to. A lot of people need to understand that an education that involves authoritarian methodology is only one. It's black and white thinking. And everybody who thinks they know how to solve a solution and there's only an authoritarian method, you are incorrect. There is usually two or three ways to do something, and there's always a libertarian way. However, some of those libertarian ways are dumb and very easy to commit fraud on because they're nice. So you have to figure out how to secure the nice ways to do things. And honestly, it's really difficult to do that. I could point fingers.
Well, I think with the technology that we have now, if applied to a governance model, actually creates the ability to build a completely new partied system that was otherwise before impossible to create, sustain, and, like, you know, safely allow people to, you know, introduce to the public. Like,
right.
Anarchy correct. With libertarianism built in is almost like a voluntarist, decentralized governance model.
Okay, so here's where I'm going to say it's a little anarchic. However, all the Democrats and all the Republicans get what they want. So that's the weird part. We're in this society where a lot of people are ideologically bent. And here's the beauty of it. Most ideology comes back to punch you in the face. When you create a legal system where you are your own senator and every law that is in your life is your own, you made it, you brought it into your life. When it goes wrong only for you. You're the one who paid for it. If you want it to stop, you stop paying for it. If you feel the value, then you keep paying for it. But value is a fake word. It doesn't actually mean anything.
Right.
Be very wary of that. And I'll tell everybody how that works. Value is subjective by its very nature. When you're talking to someone, they will literally feel something. Call it a hallucination if you want. But if they feel the value, you spoke to them in a way that they felt you. But the definition of value is subjective. And the feeling of value is subjective. And the feeling of value is subjective for you from one time to another time. You know, when you've already eaten, you don't value food. So when someone is trying to sell you value, I swear to Christ, man, Ken, value is the one fucking word that got out of Hogwarts that everybody can speak and do magic, and now they all know the fucking trick. All they got to do is find a way for you to make you feel value, and then their organizational methodology will provide them with a pension.
Yep, No, you're right. You're right. Value is definitely like one of those magical, like you said, the Hogwarts like, words where it's been used since I guess, monetary systems were designed to kind of manipulate a society as a whole into a single direction. We're seeing it now with like, people that don't even have a savings account or money for their, electric bill, but they have the newest iPhone,
Right. Listen, flip it around, Ken. Democracy is a problem because it's mob rule, right? What happens when you flip it around so that the system works that a positive input from democracy yields a negative input on the output of all the voting? In other words, what all these people wanted, they don't get through the process of democracy. You flip the mechanics around. Now you take that majority rule stupidity and you use it against the majority. That is exactly how our system works right now.
Well, our system has been compromised by corporations. It's no longer a government as much as it's a business.
And here's where you and I are in agreement, but let me break it apart. A deity, a government, and a corporation are all the same organizational structure. The only difference
Powered
between a
by
government
belief.
The only difference, well, but here's the thing. The only difference between a deity and a government is that a corporation is a child of a government. It operates more like a deity because it does the fucking government thing and it's born from government. It operates by some of these rules that are, industry best practices, but then it does what it wants. Mark Zuckerberg fundamentally does what he wants. So the weird part about the corporation is it has the ability to swallow the government that created it, but that's not a matter of, it's a matter of competency, not a matter of law. So you start figuring out that a matter of, it's, you need to be a competent human. And that's a very difficult task, but then you get a legal system that basically makes you work against yourself. So instead of having a legal system incumbent upon you, there's been a murder, so there will be no more of this. Before we have a murder, we all agree to this. Now we can, you, it's a legal system where honesty will either get you prosecuted or sent home. The cop's job is not to generate revenue. The cop's job is not to fulfill a quota. The cop's job is not to make a case. The cop's job is to be a lazy, shiftless motherfucker who only goes to work when something has happened.
Why can't all of this work with the current structural models that we have today and just tweak them? Why have to completely change and flip the script and, be your own senator when we already have senators and things couldn't they just be updated rather than completely just eradicate it?
Well, here's the thing. At a certain point, you cannot fix authoritarianism when the problem is too many people are getting hurt. You can't use that same methodology to try that maneuver because that maneuver is what's harming more people. It's the solution that used to be a solution when slavery was okay, but now there's electricity and it's a problem. Like, we have to look at Thomas Jefferson looked at his problem in his time and wrote a document. And now there seems to be this argument from antiquity that that document is preserved for all time. And the real problem is it's fear and ineptitude. Fear is the argument that says we need at least the Constitution, otherwise the legal system will go crazy. And that's a pretty fair argument. There's another part that says the Constitution is absolutely the problem, and that's Article 1, Section 8. Authoritarian taxation will cause an economic system to not figure itself out. The price mechanism actually fixes it. It doesn't allow a politician to tax more to cover up a failure. Regular businesses, when they have a failure, they either go out of business or they figure it out and they move forward. Governance, when they run out of money and they didn't accomplish the goal, they say we didn't have enough money. All we need is more money. They're just throwing money at a problem and they're mostly incompetent, but they're not incentivized to do it properly. They're incentivized to make appear to give it the appearance of success. And then if it fails, they're not incentivized to succeed. They're incentivized to be nice and give the appearance of success until failure. and then smooth over the failure. And we've been nice the whole time, right? So we're just going to reload it. We're going to try it again. And we got a new system and we fired the old guy. And now we have a new guy. It's always this time disintermediation tactic between figuring out you're being ripped off and figuring out what the real scam is. And the real scam is the legal system. It's cast upon you. Everything after that, you're just the hamster on the treadmill of someone else's laws.
Good point. Kingsley says the first official third party in the U.S. was the Anti-Masonic Party. Never heard of it.
And listen, there's a lot of bullshit that used to go on a long time ago. There were secret societies, and there were people who had information that other people didn't have, and there were people who had skills that other people didn't have. And we can trace this all back to something sinister, but I can also trace it back to stupid. And the problem with looking for sinister is, you want to look for sinister, you're going to find it.
Well,
but if you don't,
Kingsley
if you
says
don't clean
we
up
cannot,
the stupid.
Kingsley if you says don't clean we can opt out. And I've heard of people like, you know, even Roger Ver has given up his U.S. citizenship. How reasonably easy is it to give up your U.S. citizenship? And what would that incline if you were to do that and still live within the U.S.?
You know what? I don't know. And I don't say it's really relevant. The concept of citizenship entitles you to things. If you start thinking of yourself as like a free-range human, I was in the military for 19 years and then I injured out. I don't like the idea of citizenship. Citizenship has affirmative duties. If you do this list of things, you are a traitor just because you were born here. I was in the military. If I gave away certain methods to other people on how to hurt people, I could be helped, but it's just a method. Anybody can derive a method. You go on the internet and people will figure out how to do things. So there are certain pieces of information that could get someone hurt, and there's certain methods that you can go find on the internet. I don't have any secrets anymore. Come to find out, what the government calls a secret in the 50s, in the old books that I was reading, because, you know, I started the military in 1995. The internet was just becoming a thing, and a lot of stuff was still in books. So I'm reading books left over from the 50s about what classified information was, and a lot of it was just military-specific science. All of which is available on the internet now. All of it. I mean, all of my top secret security clearances for 19 years were completely wasted because you can go reference it on YouTube.
Right.
All of it. So at a certain point, what you consider top secret information isn't. Everything you don't know is a secret. And the real answer is, if you let other human beings create statutes for you, you will believe that the law is unbreakable and the rule of law is all the rule of law. We have to have the rule of law, and everybody will tell you that, but really it's rule by statute. Statute is created by someone else. Now it's rule by someone else. That doesn't sound so good, but as long as you package it properly. And I'll tell you, a lot of this, it's deceptive language. We don't have laws. We have statutes. Gravity is holding my ass in this chair. Principles of electromagnetism are powering my phone and allowing us to use radio waves to interact. Those are laws. A lawyer has a fucking opinion and it's dumb. And it includes his pension and the pension of a friend of his. And if we can convince you that statutes are laws and you're stuck with them like gravity, then let's see how many people's pension we can get on the list. Shit. And that's how the whole system runs. Ignorant. So I could tell everybody vote for this guy, and that guy ain't going to do it. Donald Trump is a brawler. He grew up in New York. He dealt with New York politics and business, and now he's cleaning out pedophiles. That's what he's doing. If anybody wants me to hate on Donald Trump, they have to stop. They have to point at all of the pedophiles that he's cleaned up and tell me, give me a reason. He's done at least that.
Well, he hung out a lot with Jeffrey Epstein, like a lot. He hung out with that dude.
Yes. Yes. And I know why. I know why. Listen, if you think that Donald Trump is like Jeffrey Epstein, I want you to go look at two things. All of Jeffrey Epstein's kids and all of Donald Trump's kids. All of Jeffrey Epstein's kids got his dick in them. He doesn't have any. And all of Donald Trump's kids are adults who run businesses. They're functionally stable human beings with their own intelligent lives. Donald Trump ain't nothing like Jeffrey Epstein, and I don't have to listen to one ideology, one criminal case. Just by looking at them from afar, I'm certain that they're not like each other.
Well, I mean, Trump said he would fuck his daughter if it wasn't his daughter. Just saying.
And you know why he made that joke? Because he hung out with goddamn Jeffrey Epstein. Like, he was comfortable enough. That's probably about the worst thing he picked. And let's face it, Trump fucked a lot of women because he could. And a lot of dudes do that if they could. Right, right. So he is a full-grown adult male, and people tried to shame him for being a male. I don't give a shit. So honestly, from afar, I didn't vote for Trump. I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm literally an anti-president guy. So it's not about, but he has already mopped up a bunch of, and if he was Jeffrey Epstein's friend, I don't know why Jeffrey Epstein was in that cage. He could have wrote him a pardon day one.
That's true too. He could have. You're right. You're right. Absolutely. You know what though? What do you think about the potential of everybody writing themselves in when electing a president?
And what do you think I'm saying?
No, but I mean, like, what message could that say is if, like, a majority of the U.S. voters decided to write their own name on the ballot as a fill-in?
I would say that all of those people went down to somebody else's system and told them to fuck off with their own name. And I'm just saying, you and I go build a system where they don't have to go down to that other system. They could do it at their home. And we don't waste our time with these other people trying to convince them they're dumb. We pick up our shit and we walk away. And honestly, you understand blockchain enough to know that it's not a PhD level course. It's not. It's a high school level course that you just have to take the time to do.
Right.
That's it. Legal hygiene is a high school level course that you have to take the time to do. Legal self-defense is another one. Legal hygiene is making sure that the system doesn't take advantage of you. Legal self-defense is making sure another human doesn't. Once you get those two down, they're only high school level courses.
But
they really are.
Is this a public education responsibility or a home education leveled responsibility?
It's a self requirement to get in the group of adults. Otherwise, you're a de facto child and we don't let you play with us.
No, but I'm saying, are those children in like some sort of like governance funded, you know, educational programs before then? Or is it a home responsibility?
Well, listen, everything, if you're talking about educating a five-year-old humans don't live in the wild. It's a de facto home responsibility. But if you're the adults in that house don't know how, then they can't. I will submit to you that America is a conquered people. Why are we conquered? Because we're all propagandized. What is propaganda indicative of? You know, when history is written by the victors and you're the one who's covered in propaganda, guess what you lost? The fucking war. That's us. We lost World War II. The Nazis came here. They went to academia. They spread socialism. Americans are fascist, but it's very, very soft fascism. They like a border, and they're a little bit authoritarian, but they're kind of reasonable and nice. And if there's a hurricane, they'll probably drive and help you. You know, millions of people will go help out hurricane victims. So it's not like Americans are bad, but if you think you need a border and you think that's going to help, it's not. You have an economic problem and a military barrier.
I mean, I think borders are inhumane. Inhumane concept to have a border, state or nation level.
A border can be inhumane, but the your door, the threshold of your house is a border, brother.
Right.
So, but that's a humane border. People don't get to invade in there. So when you start talking about a border, it's whose border is this? And when we have the grandiose collective we, and we think we need a wall, why do we need a wall? Because people come here and leech off the system. Wait a minute. Maybe the system is inept and it lets a vagrant from another country come here and abuse it. The system is inept. We cannot secure an inept system with a military barrier for an economic problem. Most of the people who come here and abuse the system, they don't come here via a method that will slow them down via that wall. The wall doesn't stop. 40% of the people who come here from Mexico don't come across the border. They come by air.
Right.
So, like, at a certain point, that military barrier is we're going to have 100% of the cost. Every time you're going to put a security measure in place, it's either 90% solution or Six Sigma. That's how life works. So either you're an idiot and you don't know how to do anything, you're somebody who's reasonably competent and you can come up with a 90% solution, you're a professional who comes up with Six Sigma. The wall is only a 90% solution, and because nobody mans the wall, I mean, they're going to man it a little bit, but it's roving patrols and shit in cars because it's 2,000 miles of border. People will defeat the wall. This is a 50% solution.
Yeah, well, even in a decentralized legislation nation, people will still be able to be aliens, right? They'd be able to sign the documents and agree to everything.
No, they'd be trespassers. No, they'd be trespassers.
But yeah, they're still trespassers, but I'm saying they could still be trespassers. Like, until they're caught, people can still trespass, is what I'm saying. It's still possible.
Now here's the thing. Privatizing a lot of the land in America is a good thing. There's a bunch of land that's owned by the government. Well, there is no government. It's just a bunch of people. So now a bunch of people own that, and now they basically have control of those resources. Well, guess what? Those resources, everybody believes the government does what it says it does. It also lies, and we know that. And then all the evidence says that the government doesn't manage those resources in a sane or competent manner. So privatizing everything in some way. Now, your Chamber of Commerce is a corporation in a city. Let's make a practical example so nobody gets lost. In a city, you have a Chamber of Commerce, a Better Business Bureau, and a government. How many of those do you actually need? You really only need two.
Okay.
You need the Better Business Bureau, and you need the Chamber of Commerce. So now, take your city, whatever it is, you privatize everything. There's two ways to do this right off the bat. The first is you take everything that you understand to be public, and you evaluate it. Anything that's reasonably sane to just sell to a human, you sell it to the human. But then you have like road systems, you have infrastructure, large infrastructure, right? So you have a multi-signature wallet, kind of a joint ownership of known public. A group of businessmen buy the roads and they agree to maintain them in a easy pass system. You pay by the mile, penny a mile, pennies a mile, whatever. But that's it. There's no more taxation associated with the roads. You pay by the mile, and it's a multi-signature wallet. Or you micro-deed everything all the way down to every property owner, and then the property owners functionally form that same co-op. When you do the co-op, they're not business owners who are trying to take care of the roads, right? The merchants always took care of the roads throughout history. It's probably better that the merchants take care of the roads. But if you want a micro-deed, and then make every individual get in with the Chamber of Commerce for a group road deal, you could do that too.
So but that's the answer to the question, who will build the roads?
The answer is somebody's building roads for the whole purpose of the American road system is to move the military around the country quickly. Now, movement quickly on the ground is a good goal for everyone. So it turns out that the military goal is actually a human endeavor. Then the military will build roads a little bit inefficiently, and then they'll build them to places that none of us will go. So when the people own the roads, some roads no longer get paid for because they were roads that the government wanted to go out in the middle of nowhere and do some shit, and hardly anybody lives out there. That's a dirt road now. So it's a change where some things don't have the infrastructure, but honestly, the rule, Walter Block is your guy. The fundamental rules of how people live in the country and the fundamental rules about how people live in a city, they change. The philosophy changes because one thing country people do is they throw distance at a problem. They have extra room, and every problem that can be solved by a little bit more space is solved by a little bit more space. When you take that is an enterprise environment factor. Square footage is an enterprise environment factor. It is not a fucking philosophical debate. So you move into the city and you have exponentially less space, and you have to figure out the philosophy and the organization there. It's no wonder that a city is more authoritarian because some ignorant asshole doesn't know how to do it at all and thinks he should be in charge. Then there's a bunch of people who know how to do it, and then there's somebody who's really good at it. And then all you got to do is corrupt that guy. And the most that is kind of what Jeffrey Epstein does. He finds the most competent people that he could corrupt, and he corrals them up and controls them. And then the people who think they own a system lose it. The Clintons are deep in bed with Jeffrey Epstein. There is no way that his activities and their activities are fundamentally separate. And the Clintons' activities are many. Lisa Barsoomian is Hillary Clinton's lawyer. Her husband is, by her legal husband, is Rod Rosenstein. Okay? So now Rod Rosenstein can give information to Hillary Clinton through the bond of holy wedlock. Nobody has to testify in through this marriage. I don't know if they fuck each other, but I do know that they're married together, and Lisa Barsoomian, through attorney-client privilege, can pass it to Hillary. Rod Rosenstein goes to work with Peter Strzok. Peter Strzok can talk to Rod Rosenstein at work. They can talk in a skiff. Peter Strzok is involved in the Trump shit, fabricating all the Trump evidence. He was also had a girlfriend named Lisa Page. She was involved in fabricating the Trump evidence. Peter Strzok's wife, not the lady he was fucking, Lisa Page, his wife, I forget her name. She works at the SEC. She's in charge of investigating Clinton Global Initiative. The lady in charge of investigating Clinton Global Initiative can talk to her legal husband, not have to fucking legal husband who clearly has a fucking girlfriend who he travels the world with, because there's pictures of him and her in fucking England, right? So, and guess what? All of these people are fucking owned in some way. The Clintons are there. They're one.
Yeah, but even in a decentralized, legislated nation, we could still have extortion at that level.
Okay, so here's where we get into crime versus bullshit. Walter Block makes an argument that blackmail isn't a crime, and he's correct. When somebody tried to blackmail Jeff Bezos about his relationship, Jeff Bezos looked at the blackmailer and said, "Show the world my dick. Fuck you. Get out of my face. You're not getting any money." And that's it. He got blackmailed, and he had to go through a big-ass divorce, billion-dollar divorce for Jeff Bezos, because he was unwilling to let someone blackmail him. And I respect that. Go show the world my dick. I don't care. If you allow yourself to get blackmailed, then that's kind of on you. You're basically purchasing silence. And if you're purchasing silence from a dishonest person like Jeffrey Epstein, you're owned. If you have a picture of me, one picture, I know in a digital world, it's hard to believe, right? But imagine you're an honest guy and you have pictures of me fucking another woman and you take them to my now ex-wife, but she was my wife at the time. And you have the negatives and the pictures. And you say, if you give me $1,000, I'll give this envelope to you with all the evidence. You're a one-off blackmail. I purchased silence for my relationship. Is it a shitty business? Yes, it is. But if you conduct it honestly, it's just a shitty business, and you take your $1,000 and you go blackmail somebody else.
Like ransomware.
If you're Jeffrey Epstein, you come back. You come back for more. You remind them that I still have the pictures. You'll be voting yes, Senator. You'll be moving this money for the Chinese Communist Party. Yes, you will. You will set up this server in New York City for Hillary Clinton, and you will not tell anybody. There's all kinds of ways you leverage people. It's called human compromise. Some way through their marriage, through their church, through their legal system, they are compromised, and you twist them for it. And if anybody thinks the Catholic religion is not a real problem, remember, the only way you get to go to heaven is if you tell the Vatican all your secrets. That is an intelligence network that's been operating for hundreds of years. That is how they operate on the face of the earth, like an intelligence network. Catholic dogma has nothing to do with the organizational matrix of the Catholic Church. The organizational matrix is called the Vatican, and it looks an awful lot like the goddamn CIA.
Damn, man, you just made me think of like how the confession booth has been data mining longer and better than Google.
Yeah, but exactly. Exactly. And now, guess how the Catholic Church... Well, okay, let me rephrase. What is this systemic crime that the Catholic Church hides internally? What is it? It's pedophilia. So now you start seeing what human compromise looks like. If you want to own somebody, what do you... And think about this, man. All of the pictures of the Catholic priest, the mayor, and the chief of police. Think about how many times you've seen that trio in a newspaper, on the TV. How many times are, oh, community leaders are all getting together to make sure you dumb fucks are in one place while some bullshit goes on somewhere else. And don't worry, when everybody goes home and they're all exhausted, they'll go rape a child and they'll all get away with it.
Well, that's a weird note to leave this on, but I gotta wrap things up.
Oh, Jesus. Should've warned me.
Donnie, no, man, I appreciate the rabbit hole you just, you know, drug me down. It was an interesting chat, man. I really appreciate it. And if you want, I mean, definitely schedule another time to come on the podcast. More than welcome to. It'd be cool. And, yeah, shout out to King and Kubo and everybody in the chat. Thank you guys for stopping by. Let me know what you guys think in the comments of everything that we chatted about here on the air.
Give me 60 seconds. I have crypto addresses up on my website. So what I want to do is I actually want to make software to train people. That's functionally what this is all about. The book will train Ken Bozak, but it takes a lot to train a Ken Bozak. So when I have you, a full-grown adult who understands what a blockchain is and understands that a legal system can hurt you, that's the human I need. You need to know what a blockchain is. You need to know that a legal system can hurt you. And then my book helps. I can get a legal dictionary together, not like Black's Law Dictionary, an actual GUI together. So I'm looking for crypto donation. I want a Bitcoin whale who's sick of the state and wants an old military intelligence guy to put together software. And that software is a giveaway. I'm going to give this in the same way that I would do the Special Forces mission. I'm giving away this software. And one of the ways that blockchains are becoming better is they're making the use of it intuitive. I know how to make the use of a legal system intuitive down to an eighth grader level, but I need to do it with software, and software is kind of expensive to build. So there's cryptocurrency addresses on my website. Put me to work. Otherwise, I mean, I'm going to go find a job anyway. It's not like that. But I want to do this for a living. And until I see a Bitcoin whale, it ain't going to happen. Or a light, anybody who throw, I got a half a dozen different cryptos up there. It's not that. It's, I need to be able to pay a coder. I need a C++ coder for a year, and I need two or three educated people for a year. So that budget of getting a certain piece of software done and put out, that costs, and that's what I have to do. So that's where I'm looking for VC money, bit crypto donations, whatever. A libertarian who has a coder, who has a coding company, and has a guy who's sitting around twiddling his thumbs because they're in between jobs, any of these methods will get it done. So anybody who's thinking about that, now you know.
All right, man. Well, it sounds like you're on a mission, bro. And good luck, dude. I'm going to definitely check out the book. I seen the website. I'm going to check it out again. And I'll shoot you a message and let you know what's up. I'll send you an email and let you know what I think.
Excellent. Spread the word. Tweet. Make sure you tweet something out so I can retweet it.
All right, bro. All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, have a day.